right, you primitive screwheads. Listen up.
Guys, we have a code red.
You mean code red the hospital emergency alert, code red the computer worm, or code red the cherry-flavored soft drink from makers of Mountain Dew?
One ring to rule them all.
One ring to find them.
Oh, Jesus.
One ring to bring them all.
And in the darkness, bind them.
Do you know what the problem is with you kids today? You guys think that all science fiction started in 1977 with Star Wars.
Where's my super suit?
What?
You tell me where my suit is, woman!
What about movies like Forbidden Planet, The Day the Earth Stood Still, Solaris? What about Logan's Run? Did you ever see that?
No, it's probably some dumb sports movie anyways.
Sports movie?
Okay, we gotta put a spotlight on this geek stuff, man.
What the fuck are you bitches babbling about?
We need to bring this to the mainstream, to the people.
Wow, this is even better than I imagined.
We have to show the world that it ain't just about comics and toys.
I have to possess this comic.
Hey, I tried to teach you how to handle comics in the sixth grade, but oh no, you wanted to play Little League instead.
Looks like a really rich fourth grader lives here.
Look at this place, man.
Oh, look, he's got a billion toys.
I have a Mego Isis action figure.
Mighty Isis.
We're not about dressing up as Green Lantern.
How often does one see a beloved fictional character come to life?
Every year at Comic-Con.
And hoping for that one day, that one fracking day, for Cylons to bring us down to possible space-age future shit.
That's exactly what it's about.
Oh, really? Yeah, this shit ain't gonna work.
Oh, man! I'm still geeking out about it!
All right, look. There's only one return, okay? And it ain't of the king, it's of the Jedi.
Looks like we got more Lucas hounds here to mock Roddenberry.
You'll have to excuse him. He's not down with the trilogy.
There's only one trilogy, you fucking morons.
Oh, Star Wars geek.
Oh, I'm the geek? Look at you two whipping out your preciouses.
I'm gonna kick your ass back to the Shire if you don't shut your fucking mouth.
Where are the stars in this piece of shit?
All right, guys, you have your mission. Go forth and wreak havoc.
I say we stay here and fight it out.
Come on, you fuckers think that just because a guy reads comics he can't fight? Shit! I'll fucking
I'm outraged.
You have it in your face.
I have the rage.
Your face is red.
I have the rage. I took today. I processed some of the comments that we've been getting.
It's been mostly positive.
It has been mostly positive, but there are a few naysayers.
There's always naysayers.
Who say, essentially what people are saying is that this whole DC starting over renumbering thing that we've been talking about.
Mm-hmm.
They feel like we haven't been outraged enough. Because if this had been Marvel and they were doing this, we would have lost our effing minds.
All right, now I have a comment as far as I am concerned.
Okay.
But do you want me to give mine first, or do you want to expound upon your insight from today's thoughts?
No, what I just want to do is I just want to say that this is Big Kev's Geek Stuff.
Oh.
232. Feel our rage.
Rah!
We are so angry at DC.
Grr.
It's just, I'm going to try to fake the rage.
All right. This is what I was going to say. The day that they made the announcement, I was really pissed.
Right.
Probably for a week or so as I continued to read the updates and see the title listings.
Right.
I was really pissed. You know, and I was pretty vocal about it. And the other medias that we participated. So, you know, social circles, online, etc. But I'm just... I hate to say it, but I guess maybe because we were gone for so long, but that by the time we got back, most of my raids have just become into complacency and, you know, I'm the victim again.
Well, before we get into all that, let's make a couple of notations.
All right, fine.
One, tonight we are in Studio B.
That's right.
We are allowed back in, even though it's construction going on. If you do hear some construction sounds, we apologize. Oh, there's some. If you hear some construction noises, we do apologize. As we continue to get ourselves organized, we need to apologize. We understand that there was some sound quality issues with episode 231.
Correct.
That was taped in Studio C.
Right.
Those issues were beyond our control, and we don't expect that they'll happen again.
That's correct.
And we're also trying desperately to get back on track with getting these episodes out in a timely manner.
Yes.
So if you just heard 231 yesterday,
right,
we're sorry about that.
Oops.
But that said, we're doing our best.
Hey, some show better than no show.
I don't know. Some people, I don't know that they would agree with that.
Well, some people think no show was always for the best, but
yeah, well,
I think most of those people aren't listening anymore.
That's true.
I would think.
And let me finish my comment, as you suggested, about why I didn't lose my mind, or why we didn't lose our collective minds.
Yes.
Over the DC renumbering. Yes, I was upset by the DC renumbering too, because
right.
I've been collecting Batman and Detective for many years.
900 issues?
Not quite that long, but thank you. And I was upset about it too. Now, normally when Marvel does this and we get outraged, Marvel does, and we're going to actually talk about that in comics today, Marvel does it for no reason. Marvel does it so that they can have a new number one, they can put new fancy covers on it, 85 different covers. That's why they do these things. That's why they do new number ones, they do renumbering for sort of business purposes. In the sense that, you know, we'll sell more books, we'll create excitement by just restarting the book, which really, that aggravates me more than anything, because there's no logistical reason for doing it. There's no storytelling reason. There's really no good reason for them to renumber. That said, the same argument could be made for DC. There's no real good reason for them to renumber that we could accept. Except I accept the fact that DC has a pile of lawsuits from creators and their estates regarding these characters going back 50, 60 years.
Right.
And I guess there's some sort of clause or something that says that if this book has been printed since 1940 something in succession, it is the growth of this character since this and blah, 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 that if they renumber the book, like Batman, for example, they renumber Batman from number one, well, that continuity is old, and this is a new continuity,
right,
and ergo they may be able to escape the lawsuits or somehow settle the lawsuits or something like that. I defy anyone to tell me why Marvel restarted Daredevil and Captain America at number one. Captain America, whose sales have been up.
Right.
Daredevil, who they have just screwed as a character.
Well, he's not even Daredevil anymore.
And didn't even put him back in his own book.
Where is he now?
He's back.
I don't mean the other guy.
No, I don't
mean like actual
Black
Daredevil.
Panther. Yeah, no, Daredevil's back.
Oh, okay.
Because everybody comes back.
Well, of course.
You know, they go through. Daredevil is Marvel's Batman. Okay. Exactly what happened to Batman is essentially what happened to Daredevil.
He was a stand-in for
no,
Stevie Wonder
dead,
somewhere.
Dead, went through hell or what, and right, and now he's back, whatever the situation is. Yes, and that book, by the way, Black Panther, The Man Without Fear, is continuing the Daredevil numbering while Daredevil goes back to number one. Captain America, which we'll talk about the first issue later on in comics, just had a number one, and then the original Captain America book that some of us have been reading since we were eight is now Captain America and Bucky.
Right. Okay.
So it's Captain America and Bucky 622 or whatever
right,
the current issue is. The Daredevil one is Man Without Fear, whatever number that is. So
okay,
it's ridiculous because there's no good reason for Marvel to do that. You know, it's not like, you know, the Captain America creator, I don't think is alive, or I don't think is suing them, to my knowledge.
Right.
So in any event, That's essentially, yeah, I don't like it, but I'm not outraged by it. I'm going to wait and see what they do, and hopefully they'll do some good with it, DC.
Okay.
That said, none of these Marvel relaunches has ever worked out to be anything. So they've always gone back to the numbering. They've always, you know, they've always backtracked and so on and so forth. So
okay.
There. The end.
The end. All right.
Sorry.
No, that's fine.
Kind of long-winded.
You're allowed.
Thank you.
You're entitled to.
Geek stuff. What's in the news?
Yes. Well, I've got some new stuff, and I got some old stuff.
Okay.
I'm going to do one old thing first, because I kind of... We didn't talk about this while we were away, but I thought it was significant enough for us to bring it up. And that is the Powers pilot for FX is, you know, fully moving forward. And we actually have, you know, we have leads.
Oh, yeah?
For that, too. Neither of which I recognize the names for.
Okay.
So Lucy Punch as Dina.
That name's familiar.
And Jason Patrick. Who's Jason Patrick?
Lost Boys.
Lost Boys.
Michael.
Oh.
The brother that's the vampire.
Really?
He was also the bad guy in The Losers most recently.
Yeah, okay.
He was the big bad guy in the Losers
movie.
Well, he looks
like he is going to be Christian Walker, the lead male. So that's
nice
lead.
Casting. The other name is familiar to me, but I'm not sure who it is. I'm sure once I look it up that I'll know better.
So for those of you who don't know, Powers is an awesome indie book. Is it Image? And then it was Icon. And I'm not sure. It's Brian Michael Bendis. And Oming, right? Mike Oming is the creative team behind that.
Mike Oming, friend of this show. Bendis, friend to no one.
Right. So there it is. All right. Also in the news this week.
That is exciting news, by the way. I really actually dig that show. So that book, so I would be delighted by having a adaptation.
Yeah, absolutely. Evil Dead.
Yes.
The remake has been confirmed.
Remake?
With Sam Raimi possibly helming it.
Okay.
It's been all over the news this week. And I guess Bruce Campbell, via his Twitter account, somehow confirmed it. But I'm reading it as it's the fourth Evil Dead movie, which is actually a reboot of the franchise. But I don't know that that's the case. It's the facts are a little bit...
Okay. In play.
Vague. And I don't actually entirely believe in the remake, dog. The project is real, in the works, cool as hell, scary as hell, would be Bruce Campbell's quote via his Twitter account.
Okay.
No offense to Bruce Campbell, but I'm not entirely taking his word for it.
I'll take Bruce Campbell's word for it. My question is, why not do a straight-up sequel? Well, because reboot is the buzzword in Hollywood.
Right.
But particularly with this franchise, why not do a straight up sequel, number one? And number two, if the project is moving forward, why doesn't he confirm what part he's playing in it, if any?
Well, because...
And if why not?
Well, here's the thing. If it's a reboot, I didn't think that he was going to be involved in the reboot.
Maybe
because you would think they were going to start over, right?
With some new dude.
If it's the fourth one... Presumably, he's coming back to play Ash.
Right.
So, So,
does time-traveling Ash
right,
somehow
exactly.
meet a younger version of himself, and starts this ball rolling in a different direction?
Okay, but that would be a good way to handle the reboot while acknowledging
right.
what already exists.
Which would make it not really a reboot,
it would
per se.
Make it,
it would make it Star Trek.
Movie. Yes, it would make it the new Star Trek.
That's what it would make.
Right.
Because the old continuity, there was a time displacement thing which set the new movie universe, the Abrams movie, Star Trek movie universe, on a different path than the old Star Trek universe.
Right.
Well, that would be a very interesting idea if they handled it that way. I guess we'll wait and see.
Also in the news this week... Big things in the news this week as far as trailers are concerned.
Yes.
But not actually trailers themselves.
Okay.
This is a trend that is infuriating me. Now it's just, we're getting descriptions of trailers from people who have supposedly seen them.
Is this about Dark Knight Rises?
There's two.
Okay.
One is Dark Knight Rises.
Right.
Which was leaked today and promptly pulled by Warner Brothers, by the way.
Oh, really?
Yeah. There have been a bunch of fan trailers and bogus trailers that have been clipped together.
Right.
But there was a trailer today that was online for about 20 minutes, and I couldn't get to it because the site kept crashing.
Right.
That when I finally did get to it was yanked by Warner Brothers, which leads me to believe the actual trailer, or teaser, because that's what it is, really, was leaked. Of course,
the rumor is
it's going to be before
Harry Potter,
in which case it'll be online by the weekend.
Right.
Because
that's tomorrow.
Because that's how it works.
Well, I mean, whenever you get to hear this.
Yeah, right.
If you do, for some miraculous reason, get to hear this before Thursday night, you can join me, and I don't know about OG, but definitely me, at the midnight premiere of Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows Part 2 in Clifton, New Jersey.
Right.
So, see you there. But yes, the rumor, the heavy rumor, is that it is in front of Harry Potter.
And again, if in fact what happened today was a leak, then that would be pretty close. And I should say that the source of that leak was apparently someone at a theater who had the print
right
at the theater and screened it at the theater, probably for
employees.
Which
they have to run whatever it is. Don't they have to run it to make sure it works?
They have to run it through beginning to end, at least once or twice, to make sure that it runs smoothly and everything.
We know
is
a
insane
number of people who work in movie theaters.
Of course, yeah.
And they always do that.
I was
going to
say,
thing,
that's not like some big secret that the theater employees get to see movies a day or two early. It's really not. Especially, the other thing we should say is that screeners of Deathly Hallows have been going on for 2 days in Manhattan, on the West Coast.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I think down in Texas.
Uh-huh.
So they've been going on. So people are seeing this movie, and not just theater employees.
Right.
If you were able to get a ticket to a screening, if you were part of the media, if you had a friend. I mean, it's...
As of today, 5,000 sold-out performances for tomorrow.
Correct.
I think.
Yeah.
That's amazing. That's not seats, people. That's theaters.
That's theaters, yeah.
That's pretty nuts. And also, we should say... while we're still on the topic of Dark Knight Rises, the teaser poster.
Okay, good. I'm glad you brought that up.
Okay.
Go ahead. Speak on it. What do you think about the teaser poster?
I really like it.
I like it too. I think it's cool. It's a great image.
It's a teaser.
But I was reading people's reactions to that poster.
Uh-huh.
And it was like a bunch of people walking around with their O face on. You know what I mean? Like, people were really overly excited for that poster, how dark and dank and how terrible Gotham's in ruin, and I was kind of like, wow, this is a really cool teaser.
Some people,
you know,
some people need that, sir.
I guess it's just this culture, and we've talked about this on the show before. It's this culture that the internet has bred, where we cling to anything.
Anything.
We're spending minutes now of this show talking about the description of a trailer that has possibly leaked.
Actually, we haven't even spoken of the description. What was the description?
I actually don't have the written description out of the Dark Knight trailer, but I did kind of read it, and it's very much a teaser. It's mostly a voiceover. You do see Batman.
Uh-huh.
You do see Gordon. And in like the last flash of it, you see Bane. That's pretty much it. So it's a true teaser, which kind of makes sense because Batman is still filming.
Right.
So how I don't
and
think
it's
that
next summer. Right?
Yeah. I don't really think that it's trailer worthy. To be honest with you, I think they saw Harry Potter as
an opportunity.
As a Warner Brothers movie,
sure.
A huge opportunity
to
put something out there.
So you know what this means then, that we'll get this now. We'll either get the big trailer at Christmas
right.
or the Super Bowl.
Right.
Or we'll get one at Christmas and a different one at the Super Bowl.
Right.
And then it opens next summer.
Exactly.
And when's The Hobbit? Isn't The Hobbit the fall of 2012 or Christmas 2012?
Yeah,
first
I think
one?
It's in there somewhere. So.
Something like that?
Yeah. So.
So.
The other trailer description that leaked was for Spider-Man.
Oh.
Now, this trailer is done. This is a full trailer.
Right.
It's going to be screened at San Diego,
oh.
which is a week away.
Right.
And, of course, this one comes from someone who works for either the convention center or works for the con itself.
Right.
Who saw them kind of doing a similar situation, just running through things,
right?
Making sure everything is smooth. I do have the description here. It's I don't know, 7 or 8 bullet points. You want me to read through them for you, or
sure.
you don't care?
No, yeah, bullet them.
Trailer opens with Peter Parker being beaten by bullies, one of which is played by Chris Zilka, who I don't know who that is in the film because it doesn't list the character name. Then there's shots of Dr. Connors being injected by a greenish fluid in a lab. Shot of Parker being bitten by a spider in his own house in what appears to be an attic lab. I don't like that.
Wasn't in his house.
Anyway.
Feel our rage. Feel OG's rage about the Spider-Man
trailer. It wasn't in his house.
Nope, it wasn't.
Shots of Gwen Stacy's face, Uncle Ben's face, and Aunt May's face. Shots of an alley with Ben and Parker. Then one of a dying Ben who utters, "With greatest power comes great responsibility." Blah. Never forget that, blah, blah, blah. Shot of Parker putting on the costume, camera angle from his back. He turns and is now atop the Empire State Building. Goes black for a few seconds. We hear some monstrous sounds. I'm thinking like Cloverfield. And cut to Connor's lab, where his foot transforms into a scaly one. Goes to black, and we hear more roars. Then the giant web, the Amazing Spider-Man, and then the date of the release. So,
sounds pretty terrible.
It's not even that it sounds terrible or it sounds good. It's that we're excited about a description of a trailer.
No, OG, you don't understand. It is the new Spider-Man, sir. It's the Spider-Man for the next generation, not our old Spider-Man from, what, 20 years ago, right? Wasn't it 20 years ago?
I don't know. He's been rebooted so many times at this point. Spider-Man could be anybody. It could be Spider-Island, and that storyline start up next week.
Spider-Island.
I think I might
Spider Island. Spider.
I might actually pick that up.
I'm trying to figure out if Spider Island as a concept or the Clone Saga is the worst idea.
Well, nothing can beat the Clone Saga.
Wow.
We hope
for horribleness.
So with that being said, I did have something comic related, but I'll bring it up in comic book news.
And with that, OG, we'll take our first break on Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 231. Feel Our Rage. Matt, you have to check out our latest sponsor, In His Likeness.
In His Likeness is a non-denominational view of the gods and how they view us. With pot shots at pop culture, geekdom, and good versus evil, over 250 strips about dots can't be wrong.
Yeah, they're really funny, too. Kind of just a bunch of weird dots. But they have their own sort of little universe, and I think they're really funny.
You can check them out at inhislikeness.com.
Wait, that was mine.
I know, but you threw off the flow. With
why aren't you doing some sort of riff thing? Told me to riff, I riffed.
Yeah, but we don't have anything else to say now other than when it's updated and when the website is.
You have an opinion.
It's not an opinion piece. It's a ad.
Fine. You can check out In His Likeness at inhislikeness.com, conveniently. And it's updated 3 times a week, Sunday, Wednesday, and Friday. Inhislikeness.com.
What the fuck was that? Your sister has turned into a zombie.
Hey, gang, this is Bruce Campbell, and you are listening to Big Kev's Geek Stuff. Ha ha!
Well, hello, Mr. Fancy Pants.
Go fuck yourself.
What the fuck was that? It's the Evil Dead!
And we are back with Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 232, not 231.
Oh, did I say 31?
Yeah, that's all right.
Oops.
Feel Our Rage. Anger. Grr.
I'm raged about the sound problems we had in Studio C, resulting in the less than stellar quality of episode 231.
I'm about to rage at Monitor. He's starting to slack like some of the other producers we've had.
Monitor. Monitor's bio go up yet?
Not yet.
I knew he wasn't going to be responsible.
No, yes, actually, that's true. By the time you hear this episode, Monitor's bio may or may not be up.
Gotcha.
Although, at this point, maybe we'll save Monitor's bio for the new website. Whenever that happens.
The new website will be launching by August 1st.
Oh, is that in fact the case?
Mm-hmm.
I did not know that. But I'm excited to hear
that.
That
is a new piece of news for you.
Ooh, yippee skippy.
Geek Stuff. DVD news.
DVDs out this week.
And there are a bunch. Although, OG, I don't know if OG agrees with me, but I think there's a bunch of significant releases this week.
Well, I certainly think there are a handful of good ones.
Okay.
Rango. would kick it off.
Rango, which launched a brand new animation division of whoever that company was that put that out. I can't even remember who put it out.
I was
going to
say, I don't even remember who it
was.
Well,
that was the big bit of news the other day, is that based on the success of Rango, whichever company that was,
right,
I forget, is now launched an entire animated division.
That, well, Rango was a success. I didn't actually get to see Rango, but I hear it actually was halfway decent, too.
Huge.
So there's that.
When it streams, I'll watch it.
Robot Chicken Star Wars Volume 3.
Uh-huh.
Also out on the DVD this week.
Yes.
The remake of the classic film Arthur. Also out on Blu-ray this week, Brazil.
Yeah, you got to pick that one up.
Yeah.
Terry Gilliam sci-fi classic.
That, I think that qualifies for the Blu-ray.
That definitely qualifies for Blu-ray.
I think I want to see and hear that in all of its glory.
Oh, yeah.
So
great,
so that
release.
Yeah, qualifies.
I'm looking excited. So far, I think everything you've mentioned so far, well, except Rango. What was the other one you mentioned?
Arthur.
Oh,
Robot
no,
Chicken.
Not. Robot Chicken. So far, I'm getting Robot Chicken in Brazil.
How about this one? Battle Beyond the Stars, the Roger Corman classic.
Is that on Blu-ray?
That is on the Blu-ray.
Oh, I will pick that up. That's Richard Thomas, and I don't know who else is in it, but it was, it's kind of not a great movie, but a very, like, campy, good sci-fi early 80s movie.
Yeah.
Everyone's seen it.
I know.
The weirdo ship.
I have one more that I want to throw out there that I just saw. If you're just a fan of, I'm going to say film in general, a collection on Blu-ray this week, it's a Buster Keaton shorts,
really?
1920 to 1923. Ooh. That's actually a really nice collection. I think I'm probably going
to
check that out myself.
I might have to check that one out as well.
So yeah,
you are forgetting a significant release, sir.
I think so. I think I went through the list pretty.
No, there is a significant release that you have forgotten.
No, I don't think so.
I think you're hearing the music right now, sir.
Well, it's significant maybe for you.
It's of course it's ER, the final season.
Oh, thank God.
Which I think is season 15.
Correct? It is season 15.
Yes, ER, the final season. Now your collection will be complete.
Oh, goody, goody.
ER is a fantastic show, sir.
And you keep saying that.
It's still true. I will have all 15 seasons by the time this airs, I'm thinking.
I've seen a couple of those episodes. They're right.
That's a good job. I'll be glad to loan you them if you'd like to borrow them, sir.
Well, right now I'm going through Community, so you got to let me get through that first.
And based on the success of True Blood, I'm trying to convince others in the area to watch 6 Feet Under.
6 Feet Under is an amazing show.
Yeah.
And actually, I think next week we're going to have to talk about a new show also that premiered on Sci-Fi this week.
What was it
Alphas?
Called?
Did you see that one?
No.
We'll talk about it next week.
Okay, next week then.
Geek stuff. Comic news.
Smell that? That's the smell of new comic books.
Comics.
Yes.
I have a few. You have a few.
I have a few to yell about. Oh, you know, something we should have brought up in DVD.
Yes.
The announcement by Netflix.
Oh, my God. Fuck Netflix.
Oh, wait a minute. Hold on a second. We should back up the show. Hey, OG, don't forget in this DVD segment that you want to bring up the Netflix thing that happened this week, the announcement.
Fuck Netflix. Fuck them. And they're what I think is going to amount to close to $6 more a month on my Netflix bill.
If you want them both.
Yeah, but why wouldn't I want them both?
Because?
Why wouldn't I want them both?
Okay.
And I'll tell you why I feel that way.
Okay.
Because I don't think that they're streaming is up to par to the point where I don't need DVDs. I still have to wait 6 months, 8 months sometimes for new releases to get to streaming if they get True Grit, for example, has been out on DVD for a
couple of weeks.
Month and a half.
Okay.
Still not in streaming. And it probably won't be until maybe the fall.
Okay.
Right? It's next on my queue. TV shows that I want to catch up on, that It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Right.
Not on streaming, only available on disc. Modern Family, not on streaming, only available on disc.
My understanding, though, is that by making this maneuver that they are committing to putting more things available on streaming.
I haven't seen that, but if that's the case, then it's okay. But I haven't seen that.
Okay.
And so what we're talking about is,
it's going to be a savings for me because we just don't see the need to
I do discs for things I don't buy.
I know, I understand.
And things that aren't available for streaming.
Right.
I do one disc. Currently, my plan is $9.99 a month, plus the $2 for the Blu-ray upgrade.
Right, which is good.
For unlimited streaming, one disc out, unlimited discs.
Right.
That is going to go up to $7.99 a month for unlimited streaming. And
$9.99
a month for
discs.
The discs. And then, you know, whatever little taxes and shit get tacked in there. So my bill's going to go from, I just got the email yesterday. It's going to go from like $12.83 to like close to
$16, $17.
No, because I guess it's a slightly more with the tax.
$18.
It ends up being like $18 and change. So almost $6 more a month, which doesn't sound like a lot, but
it's a lot.
It's a lot. I mean, that's a significant amount. And to be honest with you, it's really worth it at $10 a month.
Right.
I don't know that it's worth it at $16 a month. So I'm certainly going to reevaluate it when it kicks in September.
Right.
And I'll make a decision then. But nobody, I haven't read one person who's happy about this.
Yeah, nobody.
And Netflix is trying to pass it off as this. No, this is great. Because now we can offer more. It's not great.
If they were committed in writing somewhere significantly to upping the streaming technology or the selections, I would understand this maneuver. However, that is just a rumor at this point.
Right. If they said, okay, new releases will now be available 1 month after the disc is available.
Even, right.
1 month. Like, is that
I don't think that's unreasonable.
I don't think that's unreasonable. If they said new releases will be available for streaming for 1 month, 1 month after, I'd be like, I'm down. Totally legit.
Right.
But that's not the case. And again, like these old shows, and they're not even older shows, but shows that are clearly in several seasons that
right.
people are looking to catch up on now. I mean, what's the excuse? Like, why are those shows not available for streaming? I can't, and you could still get some of those on like Hulu and not pay.
Right.
Why can't Netflix hammer out the deal? They're charging me more. They should be able to figure it out.
I don't know. They probably need money for that Stars deal.
Yeah, fuck them.
Geek stuff. Comic news.
Smell that? That's the smell of new comic books.
Comics.
We actually have one bit of comic news, sort of. Do you want to talk about
Deja
that?
Deja vu.
The Green Lantern thing? I just thought that was interesting.
You can do that.
This week, or today, I guess, a teaser image was released online by
right.
DC of Green Lantern 1.
Green Lantern number 1, part of the renumbering.
Part of the renumbering. And it's Sinestro
as Green Lantern. Yeah.
Now, we don't read Green Lantern, either of us.
Right.
But I went to one of our Green Lantern sources
uh-huh.
of the show, and he kind of explained to me that actually in the current Green Lantern storyline, Green Lantern... Hal, I guess it is not, he's been kicked out of the core.
There's like five Green Lanterns.
Yeah, but I think it's Hal has been kicked out of the core.
Okay, what about Kyle?
So, I don't know.
What about Guy Gardner?
John.
What about John?
Yeah, I don't know.
John Stewart.
All I know is somehow that's kind of not surprising. I thought it was kind of interesting, but anyway.
Comics to check out this week. Folks, you want to get in on this one as soon as possible. If you're not reading it already, it's Batman The Dark Knight. David Finch, Scott Williams, and Richard Friend bringing us this great book. You're probably going to want to get it really soon because it's ending in the
right.
fall. And starting again with number one, even though this is issue 3.
Right.
I mean, that kind of thing is really bothersome about, you know, talk about Feel Our Rage and everything that we've talked about already. This kind of thing really bothers me. Why even bother numbering it?
How many books are going to be like that? Batman Incorporated is going to make it to issue 7, I think.
This one's not going to make 5, I don't think. I think this is the one that's most affected.
Well, I know, but 5 and 7 at that point, I mean, you're close. You know what I mean?
Meh.
It becomes a miniseries.
Also, check out Detective Comics... 879. This is a great story, and it has art by Francesco Franciavilla, a friend of this program.
And Scott Snyder, right? Is the
writer, yeah.
Scott Snyder has a book that I'm reading.
Oh, yeah?
Not this week. American Vampire Survival of the Fittest number 2.
Right.
It's the first American Vampire spinoff.
Right.
So you might want to check that out also.
Yes. Also from DC this week, you can check out Red Robin number 25. Fabian Nicasia, Marcus Toe, Ray McCarthy bringing us that book. This one is coming to an absolute end.
Okay.
with the renumbering. And I would say it's about time. I think this one
kind of
run its course.
Okay.
I feel. What's going to happen to this particular Robin? Who can say?
You know, Robins have a history of getting well fucked. So
well, true, but you know what? Red Hood, who is Jason Todd,
right?
The Red Hood and the Outlaws book looks really, really good.
That's one of the new books.
That's one
of
the new books.
Yeah, that's one of the ones.
So
I'm
I'll be replacing Red Robin with Red Hood and the Outlaws. So, from our friends over at Dynamite, it is Green Hornet Aftermath number 4.
Oh, that's 4 of 4, isn't it?
I believe so.
Woohoo! Another one bites the dust.
Yeah, it's another Green Hornet book dead, which leaves, I don't know how many it leaves. I don't think it leaves maybe just Green Hornet, maybe just Kato also.
I like watching the dying of the Hornets.
Yeah, well, this is something we said would happen.
Of course.
It's also important to note Dynamite picked up the Game of Thrones license.
Oh.
And we'll be doing
based on the books, I'm assuming, right? Adaptations of the books, not adaptations of the
Show. Yeah, I'm assuming they're adaptations of the books. And the issue 1 is in September of 2011. So we'll probably check that out. I may read that in trade form.
Yeah, I was going to say that's a Wizard Philly pickup.
I'm trying to think if that looks to me to be an Alex Ross cover.
Oh, well, that's nice.
So, and I'm done with all that too. I'm done with all that buying Alex Ross covers just because I just can't do it anymore.
I understand.
The books aren't even justifying it anymore.
No, I understand.
I mean, some of them are at least good. Anyway, let's get on to this embarrassment. It's Captain America number 1. That's right, folks. Captain America numero uno. Ed Brubaker, who is a really good writer, Steve McNiven, who's an okay penciler, are bringing us the brand new Captain America number 1.
I don't think I'm getting that.
No?
No.
I've been reading Captain America since I was a wee lad. But
do you know what I am thinking about picking up, though, that came out this week?
What?
Amazing Spidey 665.
Oh, yeah?
Which is the bridge to whatever's going on now to the launch of that whole Spider Island storyline.
Interesting.
I kind of feel as though if I'm going to bash it next week,
you might want to be familiar.
I want to be really familiar with it. Maybe I'll be surprised. I mean, I'm not holding my breath, but maybe I'll be surprised. A couple more books coming out that you might want to check out that I'm going to definitely check out. Dollhouse Epitaphs 1 of 5. This is the Dollhouse miniseries that takes place during that period at the end of the show with Felicia Day's character.
Right.
So that was actually what I thought was the strongest part of the show. And I'm interested to see what they do with the book. And then also an independent book, Lady Mechanica, issue 2. Issue 1 came out, I think issue 1 came out
a while
around
back.
Christmas.
Yeah.
You know, it was something ridiculous like that. And issue 2 was supposed to come out in March. And then I think there were problems with the artist, the writer. He had some family problems. And the issue keeps on getting pushed back and pushed back and pushed back and pushed back. Issue 2 finally was solicited and released this week.
Right.
It's kind of like a steampunky
sort
of book.
They also put out a collected volume 0 through 1.
Right. 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 Exactly. Which, technically, this is the third issue.
Right.
I have 0 and 1.
Right. I do too. I didn't pick up 2 today.
So, yeah, I'll be picking up 2 just to
I'm
see.
I'm going to, I think, that one too. Yeah, I think I'm going to get that one in trade. I'm shifting more towards trade-based reading.
Yeah.
I'm going to stick with the long-term titles that I've been reading since I was a child. Cap, Daredevil, Uncanny, Batman, Detective. I'll read the new Batman titles, Dark Knight and Red Hood. I think those are the only two I'm reading outside of Detective and Batman.
Both of us have done some significant
soul searching.
Pairing.
Yes.
To our
pairing?
Pairing down.
Oh.
Trimming.
Okay.
Reducing.
I read that the a totally gay way, so.
I didn't say docking.
Ew.
Anyway, I think you have some trades over there, don't you?
I do. Two to mention this week. One is The Clockwork Girl by Sean Riley and Kevin Hanna. Now, OG and I were both exposed to this either at a con or on a free comic book day thing. They've now collected it into one book, and I believe it is being made into a movie. I do not know if it is animated or if it is or if it is a live action. I'm hoping for some real snazzy animation, actually, because I think it would serve this title very well. So it has the whole story, tons of pinups, other things here in the hardcover. It's going to run you $19.99 from Harper Design, I think, put this out. Go to clockworkgirl.com for all sorts of information about it. Cute story about a little clockwork girl and a little, what is he? Looks like a little troll boyfriend.
Yeah, something thing. Like that.
And a scientist and things, and it's just really cute.
Yes, so adorable.
Check
even.
It out. Clockworkgirl.com. All the information is over there if you want to check that out. And lastly, in the comic books / other section, I picked up From Bloom County to Mars, The Imagination of Berkeley Breathed. This is from IDW. The people have been putting out the Bloom County Absolute Editions collections,
right,
which are beautiful. This is just simply a book full of Berkeley Breathed's art. There's some commentary on it. There's some rarely seen concept art. There's some strips, some original versions of strips, some other things. It was really, 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 it really is a terrific. If you're a fan at all of Berkeley Breathed or Outland, Opus,
all those things.
Mars Needs Moms. Well, if you're a fan of any of those things, Bloom County, you're going to want to check out this book. Absolutely, absolutely terrific. A cartoon art museum exhibition catalog. So, yeah, check that out.
All right.
I guess this goes along. Is he having, maybe he's having a show at the Cartoon Art Museum in San Francisco?
Oh, perhaps.
That could be what this is. Wow. I so want a sketch from Berkeley Breathed, and he never does anything. I wonder it was February 5th through June 19th.
Oh, okay, so it's done.
So it's done already. Oh, which means he was probably there. Man, why don't they ever do stuff on the East Coast?
They don't like us.
Word.
I don't like you either.
Never going to miss meet Berkeley Breathed.
Geek Stuff. Product reviews.
Product.
Uh-huh. You got the one and only piece.
Yes. Something we talked about on the show, I guess it was months ago, probably around Toy Fair, I'm going to say.
Yeah, because that's when we first saw it.
This is the Mezco Mega Scale Lino action figure.
Yes.
It's huge. What is it? Huge. What are you going to say? It's 16 inches?
Let me see it.
I'm saying 16 inches, right?
Yeah, it's definitely more than a foot, that's for sure.
This is not a 12-inch figure. It comes with the Sword of Omens and the Claw Hand.
Yeah, now it comes with two Sword of Omens, sir. It comes with the short Sword of Omens before he ratchets it up, and the big sword.
And the extended sword.
Right.
And it's got a couple points of articulation. It's really not a lot. It's more of a display piece.
This is a display piece.
It's almost like, I almost want to say it's statue. You know what I mean? Like it's like
a
plastic
statue. But you can pose
it
slightly.
Yeah. Well, the real articulation is in the wrists, and I think that's just so that you can get the sword and the claw
right.
to display properly.
And the shoulder so that he can raise the arm. Hold the sword aloft.
Correct.
And the head so he can look at it as well.
Yeah, but there's no articulation in like the legs
or
the knees.
It's
or
nice.
Like
it's
that.
A nice piece. Gonna run you about, I think they're about $40.
Yeah, somewhere in that ballpark.
If you're a fan of Thundercats, though, there hasn't been a lot of Thundercats product, and what there has been has either been iffy. I mean, lately, not like in 83.
Well, it's coming, though.
The new Thundercats by Bandai. Stuff is coming.
Well, it's funny you should say that, because Bandai, do you remember we saw Bandai, right?
Yeah.
Bandai actually had...
And are releasing.
Right, new Thundercats. But they had two...
Retros. Retro characters
was
cut with articulation.
And Lino?
No, I think it was Tigra
And Lion-O.
And Lion-O.
And they, didn't they also have a mega scale Lion-O, but the color was different? Remember?
No.
The leotard was a darker blue.
Did they? I don't remember. I don't remember them having a mega.
It was either this scale or just maybe a little bit smaller, but I remember the blue was darker.
I don't remember.
It was like a darker, it was darker.
I don't remember that. I do remember the old style characters cut with articulation.
I remember they said they were going to be releasing like maybe one or two a year.
Yeah,
Something like that, so that the collectors have something.
Right, and they're actually releasing Lion-O at San Diego.
Yes.
As their exclusive, I think.
I think the only real complaint I have maybe about this piece, right, and it's really very minor. I think I kind of would have liked to have seen maybe a little bit more action in the face. It's kind of that stoic sword pose. I understand. But maybe a little.
I think, you know what, I have to disagree with you. And based on the pose on the back of the box, that is the classic.
Yeah, it does look pretty good.
You know what I mean? That is like the classic, I am the leader pose. I am possession of the Sword of Omens.
You know what, you're right.
If you're a Thundercats fan, you're not getting, I don't say that you're getting much better than that in that scale. That's for certain. I mean, that's the kind of item you especially, OG, with your big display at home. That's going to fit right into your display at home.
Oh, yeah. My big figure display?
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, that's what I'm talking about. Absolutely, so people or people that like get to have like three items on their desk.
Right.
That is definitely a cool item to have on the desk. Absolutely. So, I mean, I think it definitely has its place.
Absolutely.
And I think it was very well done by Mezco. I think unfortunately, Mezco maybe signed up for that scale and then maybe once the commitment was done, they kind of got flushed because I don't think they're doing another single piece of Thundercats product.
Well, if Mezco gets the okay, because I'm going to be honest with you, I like the Mezco pieces better than the Bandai pieces. No offense to Bandai.
The new ones?
Yeah. Well, no, the small Bandai pieces are nice.
No, I didn't like. I'm reversed.
No, not the new movie, not the new show.
Right.
The small scale. By small scale, I mean six inch, whatever they are.
6 inch.
Retro Thundercats.
Right.
Those I like. But their big Lion-O, I like the Mezco one better. So if Mezco got like the okay to do a Panthro next, I'd totally be down. I'd totally be on top of that.
I haven't heard of anything like that. I'm wondering if they got shut out based on the fact that Bandai probably locked it up.
Probably locked it up, yeah.
They could put a slot in the back though and make it a bank.
Exactly.
Posable bank.
Hey, wait, isn't there a
diamond? Isn't that how diamonds get away with
that's
doing
how
Star
diamond
Wars
puts
busts?
Out everything. Oh no, it's a bank.
Slot in the back.
That's it. Slot in the back.
Slot in the
back. Hole in the bottom.
Hole in the butt. That's it.
Bank
in the bottom. Bank.
Anyway, this is again, this is the Lion-O Mega Scale action figure from Mezco. You definitely can find it. You know, maybe your local comic book store. Definitely online.
Right.
Mezco normally makes its way into specialty retailers too, so you might see it there as well.
MezcoToys.com, MezcoToys.com.
That's correct.
So check that out from Mezco. And with that, OG, let's take our final break, and we'll be right back with a wrap-up of episode 232 of Big Kev's Geek Stuff, Feel Our Rage.
Hey, this is OG. Big Kev's Geek Stuff reaches tons of listeners each month across multiple platforms, and now so can you. If you're trying to reach the geek community, Big Kev's Geek Stuff offers some great advertising opportunities for your products or services at great rates. You won't find a better way to reach your target market than through advertising with Big Kev's Geek Stuff. So head over to BigKev'sGeekStuff.com and click on the advertising link and start reaching potential new buyers immediately.
Wow, with all the flair and delivery of a corpse.
Come with me if you want to live.
Hey, this is Linda Hamilton from The Terminator, and you are listening to Big Kev's Geek Stuff.
Hasta la vista, baby.
What the fuck is happening?
Geek Stuff is wrapping up.
Thank you.
And we are back with Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 232.
God damn, I don't even get a breath in between the segments.
Feel our rage. No, I come in first. I'll let you take a breath. Maybe I'm going to plug a sponsor or two now. Oh, we got a couple of those, right? We can do that right now. How about Suburban Vinyl?
Suburban Vinyl.
SuburbanVinyl.com. Upcoming show, July 22nd.
Right.
It's the Spleet exhibit, When Animals Attack. Spleet, me and Kev are going to be there. That's July 22nd at 7 p.m. Well, I'll be there. Kev might be there. That's July 22nd at 7 p.m.
I will be signing Spleet's work.
Oh, will you?
Yes.
So, yeah, definitely come and check that out. SuburbanVinyl.com. You know, and on top of their shows, just a great general store slash site.
Yeah.
Great product. Lots of vinyl. You know, you're looking for the Dunnies that we talked about last week.
Right.
You're looking for any of that kind of stuff, definitely check out SuburbanVinyl.com.
Absolutely.
And, of course, how could we forget Superpower Collectibles.
SuperpowerCollectibles.com. Going to buy anything online the next couple of days? You're going to spend $40? Of course you are. Why not go over to superpowercollectibles.com? They probably have what you're looking for because they have a huge selection. You put in the coupon code BIGKEV, you're going to get $10 off?
Yes.
$10 off. You're going to get free shipping. You're helping out the show. You're helping out the sponsor. You're doing a world of good, and in a couple of days, you get your product. And it was cheaper.
Exactly.
And you didn't pay for shipping.
Exactly.
SuperpowerCollectibles.com.
Now,
OG, what did we talk about on this episode of Big Kev's Geek Stuff?
We talked about our rage, or lack thereof, when it comes to the DC reboot. And again, you know, I think we both were enraged. I think enough time had passed from when it was announced to when the show actually came back.
Right.
And you know what? When the books launch, if they're just a big pile of stink,
and we'll say it.
We'll say it. The rage will be back.
One thing you can count on, if it is a big pile of stink, we will say it stinks.
Of course, we talked about the Powers pilot, the show coming to FX, the Evil Dead 4 slash reboot slash what the fuck is it?
Well, our way of rebooting.
What the fuck
it.
Is that? Right, isn't that from the musical?
That is. If they do it the way we've suggested,
right,
it could actually be a success.
It could actually be a success.
Right.
Of course, we also talked about the newest rage on the internet, and that is trailer descriptions.
Yes. For those of you that can't get to the illegal trailer before it's yanked,
you can now read what somebody else has seen on the screen.
Right.
In segment two of tonight's show, of course, we talked about DVD releases, and the conclusion we came to is it's actually quite bigger than we led you to believe originally. Out on DVD this week, things you might want to check out: Rango, Robot Chicken, Star Wars 3. You don't want to check out the Arthur reboot. Brazil on Blu-ray, Battle Beyond the Stars on Blu-ray, and the Buster Keaton collection also on Blu-ray.
And ER the final season, sir.
And ER the final season. And of course, in comic books this week, we had a couple of books, a couple of trades we wanted to mention to you.
Yeah, Captain America number 1, Green Hornet Aftermath number 4, Red Robin 25, Batman Detective Comics number 879, and Batman the Dark Knight number 3.
Also, Dollhouse Epitaphs number 1, Lady Mechanica number 2 Epitaphs. Is out this week. And American Vampire Survival of the Fittest, number 2, also out this week.
Couple of trades slash other books to check out.
Correct.
The Clockwork Girl collected hardcover edition. Check out clockworkgirl.com for that. More on that. And From Bloom County to Mars, The Imagination of Berkeley Breathe, a retrospective look at Berkeley Breathe from IDW. You know, that's going to run you about $20.
I have one more thing I want to bring up real quick.
Sarah.
Even though we didn't officially start the segment, the suggestions have come in.
I believe, didn't we get a photo?
We got a photo.
Peg Warmer of the
Week. For Peg Warmer of the Week.
Uh-huh.
And not only did we get a photo, first of all, that photo is from the UK.
Right.
And that is in, Matt Shepard, I believe, is the gentleman who submitted that. So thank you, Matt.
Right.
And it's taken in Matt Booker's store.
Nice.
Automatic Comics.
Oops.
So, Peg Warmer of the Week this week, even though the segment hasn't officially started, I believe that was a Prince of Persia.
It was a Prince of Persia action figure. Yes.
So you'll see that image in the photo gallery.
That's right. So therefore, Prince of Persia figures no longer qualify for Peg Warmer of the... Well, we should... The Prince of Persia figure that's pictured, you can no longer submit that one.
That's right.
And then at the end of the month, we're going to pick the best Peg Warmer of the month.
That's how we're going to do this.
Yes.
So we want you to submit, right? And each week we'll mention on the show the ones we like the most.
Right.
Right. Assuming we get a bunch.
Uh-huh. We'll pick a winner of the week. The winner of the week will go into the collective pool for winner of the month.
And the winner of the month will get a
prize.
So there you go.
Nice.
So don't forget to submit your images of Peg Warmer. Peg Warmer of the Week.
Peg Warmer of the Week. Found in Automatic Comics. Hey, if you're in, what's that town?
Corsham.
If you're in Corsham and you want action figures that no one else will buy, visit the Peg Warmer of the Week nominee, Peg Warmer of the Month nominee photo originator there in Corsham, England.
Right.
And say hello to Matt. You're going to get a 10% discount. I saw this Peg Warmer on Big Kev's Geek Stuff. You're going to get a 10% discount off of your total order of $100 or more.
I don't know if Matt's going to honor that. It would be nice if he did.
Why wouldn't he honor that?
Because, you know.
You go right up to Matt. You go right up to Matt, the owner of Automatic Comics in Corsham, UK.
That's right.
And you say, I want to, I heard on Big Kev's Geek Stuff that the Peg Warmer of the Week discount is 10% off of my order of $100 or more. And I guarantee you he will absolutely accept that.
I hope so for those people's sake.
I'm just saying.
All right.
Our people in the UK should take advantage of that.
Don't forget, you can check us out online over at BigKevsGeekStuff.com, where we have all of our episodes live from Studio V. More of those maybe coming down the pipeline at some point in the future. Of course, the new website coming down the pipeline at some point in the future as well. You can check
rumor
us out
has
over
it.
At...
Rumor yeah. has it August 1st.
August 1st. Fingers crossed. Of course, you can check us out at Facebook. Facebook.com/BKGeekStuff.
Uh-huh.
At BKGeekStuff. At Twitter, at GeekStuffOG, if you want to follow me. Also, our YouTube channel, Big Kev's Geek Stuff. You
yes.
can also check us out soon, although not yet. I think over at the Google Plus, we're going to be setting up an account over there.
Right.
So that will be taking place shortly. And you can leave us a voicemail over at the GVM line, 425-920-6050. Again, 425-920-6050. Leave us a voicemail, and you may hear yourself on a future episode of Big Kev's Geek Stuff.
All true.
I think that's it.
And with that, OG, I will bring this episode to a close and end it the way I end all episodes of Big Kev's Geek Stuff by saying, good night, Just Mike, wherever you are.
And on that note, we cue the music.
Roads go ever, ever on. Over rock and under tree, by caves where never sun has shone, by streams that never find the sea. Roads go ever, ever on, under cloud and under star. Yet feet that wandering have gone will turn at last to home afar. Over snow by winter sown, and through the merry flowers of June, over grass and over stone, under the mountains in the moon, roads go ever, ever on. Over rock and under tree, by caves where never sun has shone, by streams that never find the sea.